Let me talk to you about the story of this man who had many possessions, who came to Jesus, and he asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" It's one of the most compelling stories of discipleship in the Gospel of Mark. Next week, we'll hear a very different story with the same purpose. So, Mark tells us that this man who came to Jesus was rich. He had many possessions. Luke also tells us in the same story in his version that he was also young. So the rich young man comes to Jesus. When Jesus tells him what he must do, he hesitates. Next week, you'll hear the story of a blind beggar. Now, he's not rich, he's poor. But even the cloak that he had, he leaves it all behind, does not hesitate, but jumps up and follows Jesus. So Mark is presenting this contrast. I think it's not difficult to find ourselves in the story. So in my 3 points, I would like to just talk about very briefly the meaning of the story and the other reading. So first of all, the man who came up to Jesus, his question was, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Folks, every one of us, depending on the stage of life we are in, has our deepest questions. For that man, the deepest question was, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" When you talk to children, many of the kids who went to the Liturgy of the Word, perhaps what's in their mind is, their question, the deepest question probably in their mind is, "What am I going to be this Halloween?" Right? When Halloween gets over, "What am I going to get this Christmas?" But as life changes, as we grow and mature, our questions change. Relationships, marriage, family, job, security, those begin to replace our childish questions. And then when we get retired, or perhaps we are struck with a serious illness, our questions revolve around life and death and eternity. But there's another point that I'm trying to make. Our questions, our deepest questions, say something about us. So it's like saying, "Tell me your deepest questions and I'll tell you who you are." Now I find the story of this man very attractive, this rich young man who came to Jesus, very attractive, because even though he was rich and even though he was young, he was asking questions about eternity. What does it say about him? You and I know people who all their life, the only question they ask is, "How can I make more money? How can I multiply my wealth? How can I make sure that I have more than I need?" What does it say about them? Similarly, what does it say about this man who says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" So I'm going to ask you 3 questions, and I want to give it the weight it deserves. 3 questions for you today. What are your deepest questions these days? If you could kneel and come before Jesus, what is the one question you would ask him? And what does that question say about yourself? Think about it during the week. It's worth praying over this passage. Secondly, the church combines the story of this rich young man with the first reading from the Book of Wisdom. Now, just a few weeks back, we had heard from Sirach, who had also talked much about wisdom. And in that homily, I had defined wisdom as the way God would act in the world. So, if God were to be here among us, how would He conduct Himself? How would God conduct Himself in the world? Wisdom is life from God's perspective. That's how I define wisdom. Now, talking about the gift of wisdom, hear what today's first reading has to say. He says, all gold in view of her is like sand. Now, for a moment, think about all the gold in the world. If you had all the gold in the world, how rich would you be? And imagine, nobody else has any. So you are the one who has all the gold in the world. But scripture says, all gold in view of wisdom is like sand. And all silver is to be accounted as mire. It's dirt, silver. Now, the rich young man today, in today's gospel, had the wisdom to ask the right questions. He had the wisdom to ask right. The only problem was with him was he did not have the wisdom to accept God's answer. So wisdom is how God would conduct in the world. Jesus was telling him the answer to his question, but he just fell a little short. In fact, he reverses the order that today's scripture says. If all gold is like sand in comparison to wisdom, this man had sacrificed wisdom for the sake of his possessions. He reverses the order. So wisdom lies in not just asking the right questions, but wisdom lies in also being able to accept God's answer. Wisdom lies in being able to live life from God's perspective. Now, how can I get hold of this wisdom? So once again, I revert back to the first reading. The Book of Wisdom says, you know, Solomon wrote the Book of Wisdom. And Solomon says, I prayed and prudence was given me. I pleaded and the spirit of wisdom came to me. We know the story of Solomon. God gave him the opportunity to ask God any favor he wanted. And he said, I don't want riches nor gold. Please give me wisdom to guide my people. And God gave him the gift of wisdom. Good for Solomon, right? What about us? How do we get wise? And the answer can be found in today's second reading. So hear this. Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. No creature is concealed from him, but everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. So he's talking about the word of God. In other words, if wisdom tells us how God acts in the world, then the first place to find wisdom is the Word of God. Our relationship with Scripture, doesn't the gospel reveal how Christ conducted himself in the world? Did he do it wisely? Does his life teach us a wise way to live on this earth? I think we believe that. That's why we're here, aren't we? So what's our relationship with the scriptures? And Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews is telling us that we must constantly expose our life to the Word of God and expose the Word of God to our life. Is this interaction between the Word of God and life, this interaction, that's crucial. That's where we learn to be wise. So our lives are constantly, we're like in the middle, there's the Word of God and that's the world, and we let these two interact in our lives. Simple example. Last week, there were two more shootings in our country. One was at the Northern Arizona University, one person was killed. And the other one was at Texas Southern University, another person was killed. And everybody's asking the right question, how can we end this violence? And the good question for us to ask is, if the Word of God reveals how God would act in the world, what do you think Jesus' answer would be to the question, how shall we end this violence? If we had to kneel in front of God and ask the question, dear God, how can we end this violence in our nation? What do you think Jesus would say to us? If we were a wise nation, we would hear the wisdom that comes from God. Do we have the courage and the willingness to accept what God might be saying to us? Do we have the courage as a nation to live life from God's perspective? Wisdom comes when the Word of God and life interact. So can you and I be wise? Of course we can be wise. How? Scripture tells us today. So let's, as we celebrate this Eucharist, bring all the questions we have, even the dumbest questions. Let's bring and let's ask God, please, give us grace and wisdom. Please help us to live life from your perspective. And it can all begin from right here, because the same Jesus who was there, the same Christ who's here. People of God said, Amen.